Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Be alert, responsible, accountable for the gifts, the opportunity, the life, the calling, the place that He's given you in family, in this society, in the world. How we need to be stand-up teenagers and stand-up men and women and assume the role that God has given us under Him until He comes. Jesus died and rose again. If you've got that, you've got it.
The truth is, every day of your life matters for Christ's kingdom. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young finishes his message, The Return of Christ, and encourages you to use your gifts to glorify God until Christ's return. Stay with us to hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Return of Christ, Part 2.
Have the tribulation going along, you see there? And you have the church age and people are coming to Christ, they're getting saved. Then you have the second coming and the final judgment, all comes in one package. Bam, it comes. Then you go into eternity. The world is getting better and better. You say, who in the world believes this? Southwestern Seminary taught that up until the last 10 years. That was their primary doctrine of the second coming of Christ. You say, well, who? You've got a lot of people who come down in these two areas. B.B. Warfield, R.C. Sproul. A lot of contemporary scholars. John Stott. Hey, he's no lightweight if you know anything about the Bible. So a lot of people fall in this area. Postmillennialism, premillennialism, amillennialism, postmillennial, are very much connected together. You see, it's all in one package. Now, we look at historical premillennialism, and it's sort of connected with dispensational premillennialism. Look at historical premillennialism. Here we go. You come, Christ comes, there's a church age. Then there's a great tribulation, and the church goes through the tribulation. And then Jesus Christ comes. And then you have the millennial reign of Christ. And when all of this on this earth, you almost have a package deal here, the millennial reign of Christ. The devil has a little upstart there. They throw him to hell. Then you have the new heaven and new earth and judgment. You go into eternity. Now, look at dispensational premillennialism. I know I'm moving fast. Look how this works. And by the way, this is the most popular view today because of Tim LaHaye and because of Dallas Theological Seminary, now Southwestern, and a lot of the pop culture books that we read. And they take this and they talk about here's Israel and here's the church. And the church comes into being Christ. And then Jesus Christ doesn't come. He sort of hovers. They get all this Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, and he takes the church, those who are dead in Christ, out of the tribulation time. The church is raptured, is taken out. Jesus doesn't land, he just hovers. And he may take it out in the middle or he may take it in the beginning. And then finally, after those 7 years, they treat the 7 years, literal 7 years. They treat the millennium as a literal 1,000 years. And then he does come, you see it on your chart, coming Jesus Christ. Then you have the millennial reign. We rule and reign with him, 144,000. Then you have finally the devil is thrown in the pit of fire, and Christ comes, and we have a new heaven and a new earth here. Now, to distinguish in a simple way, if you're some kind of a biblical student, between historical pre and dispensational pre, it's how you relate Israel to the church. Israel to the church. Historical pre will tell you when Israel basically rejected Jesus as the Messiah, then all of a sudden it is the church age. And they would tell you Jews have to be saved just like Christians. And they read Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11 as he talks about this. And most, and he says, they would say that Genesis 15, in other words, that Israel will be restored, that the covenant with Abraham is still valid, and it will take place in this millennial period, and the temple will be rebuilt, and sacrificial system will be reset in, and a lot of Jews will come to faith in Christ, and then there will be the consummation of the age there. So they have sort of two comings, a hovering in the clouds, tribulation, then a literal coming of Jesus. Right, and then you have the millennial reign, and finally the Lord's the marriage feast of the Lamb, and eternity, the new heaven and the new earth. It's how you treat Israel and the church. All right, those Bible thumpers say, well, the rest of us look back and say, here you have four views, and they're distinctive views, and somebody who just came in, you're a new Christian, you've never looked at this, you're asking now, am I in a zoo? And I understand that. Let me sort of bring it down to earth. Look with me in Thessalonians chapter number 4, and let's just use the KISS principle. You know what that is? Keep it simple, stupid. If you talk about the second coming, let me do that and put it on the bottom shelf where we'll all get it. Paul in verse number 13 says, for we do not want you to be uninformed, ignorant brethren. In other words, this is the basis of what you need to know about those who are asleep. By the way, that's a euphemism. Those who are asleep, those who are dead. It's a nice way of saying about those who are dead. Christians were just asleep. So that you will not grieve as do the rest of people who have no hope, who have no confidence. Remember, our word hope is confidence. It says, well, as Christians, we're not to grieve when someone dies. That's not what it says. We don't grieve like they do because we know the bottom line where they are. That's a big difference, isn't it? So people that go to the cemetery and talk to the grave and spend a lot of time hugging the tombstone, let me tell you something. That person's not there if they're in Christ. I can tell you that. So we don't grieve like those who do not have confidence as what's going on after this life. That's what he's saying. Then he answers a question evidently the church at Thessalonica was asking. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, stop there. That's the whole gospel, isn't it? Jesus died and rose again. If you've got that, you've got it. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, look what we have. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. What does this say? It says in the second coming of Jesus Christ that God will bring with him those who have died in Christ and those of us who are alive at that time. See, they were worried. They said, if Christ comes, a lot of my friends and family, they've already died. Are they going to be included in this? You know, what's going to happen to them? Let me tell you something, folks. Relax. If God could take you and me and put this body together and say, make us out of the dust, there's no big deal. I don't know if he's going to have to use any of these old components to build that resurrected body we're promised in Jesus Christ. See, the dead in Christ, don't worry about them. Man, they're fine. And what about those who are alive? He thought, well, when Christ comes, what about those? And Paul answers that question. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. What is he saying? He said, those who are alive, man, what will we experience? There will be a shout, voice of the archangel, the trumpets of God. Man, look at the sequencing. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's not batting your eye. It's just the twinkle you see in the eye. That's how fast it'll be. Faster than a nanosecond. And it happened, and Christ has come. A shout, a voice, the trumpets. Oh, we're there with him. He came down in the second coming so we might be caught up in the second coming. You got it? So then he says we are to comfort one another. Comfort one another with these things. We're to be confident in this. So you see, he answers the question, what about those who have already died in Christ? No problem. What about those who are alive in Christ? No problem. Then he says, comfort one another with these things. Be confident. What did Jesus say about the second coming? He said a whole lot about the second coming, but look at the parables you find in Matthew 25. Don't need to look now. There are three things that we're taught in those parables. First one is we are to be alert. We are to be responsible, and we're to be accountable. Remember, Jesus tells the story of the wedding, and you had the bridesmaids who were there with their candles, and they said, if the bridegroom waits in coming, that's a picture of the coming Christ. That's the bridegroom, right? That's the husband. We're the bride, all of us. And Jesus is coming to take us into a marriage feast with him and live with him forever. This is the symbol. The beautiful picture is there. Here are those 10 bridesmaids. They didn't bring extra oil, five of them. And the bridegroom, the coming of Christ, the bridegroom delayed. They didn't have enough oil. They tried to borrow it from the other bridesmaid. They said, no, we just have enough for ourselves. And so the door was locked and they missed the feast, the banquet. He's saying you have to be alert, have to be responsible, have to be accountable as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, the celebration we'll have. Are you alert? Are you responsible? Are you accountable? That's what you have to ask. That's what Jesus told. Then he told about the talents. He said the man was leaving, the master of the house, picture of Jesus going back to the right hand of God. He said he gave talents, five talents to one, two talents to another, one talent to the other. The five talent person doubled, used their talents, doubled them. Two talents, used his talent, his ability, double it. The one talent guy said, man, I know you are hard. I'm going to hide my talent. I'm not going to use it. The master came back, said, the one who doubled their talents, five, he said, that's super. I'm going to give you responsibility over a lot. One that doubled their talents, two, I'm going to give you responsibility over a lot. The one that hid the talent, there was a reprimand and said, you've wasted. You're not responsible. You're not going to be a part of my kingdom. What is that all about? It's about that God has given stuff to you and me and life and ability to use for his kingdom. And the question is, are we using it? It's dangerous just to eat food and breathe air and exist on this earth. And that's all it is. Get in the morning, have breakfast, go to work, have lunch, come home, eat supper, turn on the TV, go to bed, next day, zip, zip, zip. That's how life. Listen. Life is more. God has given us something to do for him, to amount to something to him. We have to be alert. We have to be responsible. We have to be accountable. Then the last thing is the picture of the judgment. You have all the sheep on one side. Jesus says, hey, come on in my glory. Come on into heaven. Man, I was hungry and you fed me. I was needed clothes and you put them on me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick and you cared me. They said, the sheep, we don't remember doing that. Jesus said, if you've done it for one of these nobodies, the little people, you've done it to me. And the goats, look at the goats. The goats on the left, he said, look, he condemned them And he said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, I need clothes. I was sick, you didn't visit me. They said, we don't remember that. They said, if you did not do it under one of these least, these nobodies, it's like not doing it for me. And they were condemned. What's it saying? It's saying, as we are on this earth, wait expectantly on tiptoe for the coming of Jesus Christ. We are to be alert. We are to be responsible. We are to be accountable. And in our world, we don't see much of that in leadership. Have you noticed that? What about Katrina? Where was the governor of the state of Louisiana? Where was the senator? Where was the mayor? Where was the president of the United States when thousands of people had lost everything they had, and the president had appointed someone, I'm talking about George Bush, by the way, had appointed someone who was a political crony. He didn't know anything about running FEMA and how to help people in need. They were not alert, they were not accountable, and they were not responsible. I witnessed that. You witnessed that. That's our society. Let me tell you something. I've got a whole lot of flaws. But if you tell me over there in our nursery of this church, that we've got a little rocking horse and one leg is broken, I'm not going to say, well, that's not my responsibility. I'm going to tell you absolutely that's my responsibility. I'm accountable for that. It's my fault. You've never said, no one has ever said in 34 years as pastor of this church, they've said, pastor, this, I may explain to you what is going on, but I'll take accountability and responsibility. You have to be alert, you have to be responsible, and you have to be accountable. That's what we're going to be when Christ comes, folks. You don't better spin anything. Well, I was busy doing this. I didn't understand. Well, you just breathing air, eating food, taking up space. Don't tempt the Almighty God. Be alert. Responsible, accountable for the gifts, the opportunity, the life, the calling, the place that he's given you in family, in this society, in the world. How we need to be stand-up teenagers and stand-up men and women and assume the role that God has given us under him until he comes. Now, if I have not barbecued anybody, I want to apologize to them. Because we're all there. But let me tell you what the second coming of Jesus Christ is really about, very simply. Tell you what it's about, very simply. Little girl was going to fly a couple of hours to visit, spend some time with her grandparents. Mother and dad loved her. She's excited about getting on a plane by herself, going to see her grandparent. Before she got on the plane, she's a little frightened. She said, oh, I don't know when I get there, you know. And the father and mother said to the little girl something very simple. They said, honey, you know how much we love you? Oh, yeah, my mom and dad love me. Said, look, when you arrive, you're going to be greeted by your grandparents. And if possible, they love you more than we do. He said, I want you to know that both ends of the trip, you're going to be loved. That's death for the Christian. And that's the second coming of Jesus Christ for the Christian. That's what it's all about. In both ends, now and in the other end, we're going to be loved beyond measure. Because the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Say it with me. The Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Say it again. The Lord God Omnipotent reigns.
That was Dr. Ed Young with his message, The Return of Christ. Dr. Young is in the studio now to answer a couple of questions about this message. Dr. Young, would you share a time recently when thinking about the promise of the return of Christ gave you great hope?
The problem I have is the word hope. I don't use the word hope in the sense that, as I've tried to say in our study of confidence, in the sense that most people use it. The idea is, maybe this will happen. It will be good if it will happen. The word hope in the Bible It is a confidence in what is coming in the future. It is almost a realized eschatology. Because I am confident that Jesus will come, that he's in control of time and of history, I'm confident of his sovereignty, I'm confident that his providence is being worked out in history, and I'm confident his will is being worked out in my life. When you have the sense, I want to please God with my life. And I would ask everybody listening, do you have that sense? Is the number one priority in your life, I want to please God. And if you seek to ask him, read his book, go to worship, how I can be pleasing to you, and you're trying with all that you have, yet not trying in the sense of effort, but trying in the sense of surrender. You see, people say, how do you become a Christian? Well, I'm going to try to be a Christian. You don't try. You surrender. Whatever ails you, whatever problems you have, whatever anxieties you have, I just say, Lord, I surrender this to you. I surrender that to you. I surrender that to you. And I've discovered he can handle all of that stuff that weights me down, and he can handle all that stuff that weights you down. Surrender, surrender, surrender to Christ, and you'll discover that you'll have confidence today, and you'll be confident of all the tomorrows that will come.
Well, Dr. Young, take a moment and, if you would, say a prayer for any listener that they could repeat if they want to be confident of their eternal home in heaven with Christ.
Well, you go back and confess that failure to him. Don't try to explain it away. Don't say, well, Lord, I did this because of this, and I fumbled here, but this is the reason. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to defend yourself. Go and get naked before God and say, God, you know it all. You know my motivations. You know how I fell in that trap. I wish I hadn't spoken those words. I wish I hadn't gone to that place. I wish I hadn't got involved in that situation. God knows all that. Just confess to him and say, Lord, with your strength, empowered by your Holy Spirit, I turn away and I ask for you to give me a brand new beginning. That's grace. That's how much God loves his family and loves his children. And if you're a son and a daughter of God, when you fail, all you have to do is get up, turn around, turn your life back over to Jesus Christ, and begin to walk with him. And as the more we walk with him, the more we get beyond that which used to drag us down into the pit and drag us down into the bottomless of life. So, be confident. If you're in Christ, you are secure. He's got you. He's in control of your life. Relax. Move forward. And be a person who lives in constant expectation of, hey, he's not finished with me yet.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you. And we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the great judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young offers up proven truth and why you can have hope in the face of coming judgments.